If you go back to the first chapter of Genesis and read in the beginning, you know, God created. He created this and he created that. And then on Tuesday, he created. And each time he said it was good. On Tuesday, he said it is good Tuesday twice. He said it's the beginning and the end. I mean, that's the way it's written. And the Jews, since that time, have said that's the twice blessed day. And so if you have close Jewish friends, especially Orthodox Jews, and you ask them when they got married on Monday night, Monday evening. And in those days, it lasted a week, they partied and ate, and it was the responsibility of the groom, not the bride, to put the wedding on. And this was the situation. And Mary was there, and her friend evidently was old. And they invited Jesus and all of his friends. And she said to him, you know, you've got to do something about this. They're running out of wine. And what we've done through the years, unfortunately, we've put more attention on the miracle. How did he do that? How did he walk on the water? How did he do this? You know, and almost any you've got those cynics who say, didn't do that, you know. What the Bible is about is trying to teach you a lesson about that miracle. And that's all John wants you to get. That's all John. You know, let me tell you, I don't have any trouble with miracles. I believe God could do anything. But God in his nature doesn't do everything because he has given us the blessing of freedom of responsibility and choice and those sorts of things. We're not puppets on a string. But Jesus reluctantly got up. He went back there. And there were six, listen to this, there were six huge urns. Can you imagine that? Hold 30 gallons each. And they were filled with water. Now you understand water is very important to those Jews because they were very ceremonial. Before you went into worship, you had to take a bath, in a mikveh bath. And the mikveh baths are still there. Archaeologists have found them all around the temple in Jerusalem. And they're everywhere. And there was a group of people, and Wayne reminded me a while ago, about the Essenes. You hear about Pharisees and Sadducees, you don't hear much, and scribes. And you hear something about zealots, but you don't hear much about the Essenes. Very prominent in Jesus' day. And John the Baptizer was an Essene, E-S-S-E-N-E. And we could go into why he was that. But you know, they were very conservative. They wore animal skins and ate wild locusts, boy, day. Sounds exciting. But he lived in the desert near the Dead Sea. I'm going from one thing to the other. But it doesn't take me a whole lot. Back to Cana and the water. He changed it into the wine, served it, and what a wonderful experience this was for the people. And you know, they talked about it. They also got into the miracle. But then Jesus said, "What I've tried to show you is this." If you read your scripture, he said, "I've tried to show you that I am the wine. I am the wine." And water is what you've always learned, Judaism. And I am the wine. What I'm teaching you, he didn't teach the kingdom of God. Instead, he called it eternal life. And his whole idea of eternal life is that that you can experience eternal life now, in the here and now. It's in the here and the after, but it's in the here and now. And if you'll read John real closely, and I bring you eternal life today in your life. And so that's the wine that Jesus is saying. And so Judaism is filled with old customs and old laws and festivals, and I'm taking the place. You see, of Judaism. Now that can get pretty tough for you. And that's what he taught. And that was the main story itself of the changing of the water to wine. Now I want you to just look at a little film strip. I hope I have it here of fellers. Don't abandon me. I'm doing something wrong. I've never have been mechanically inclined. I'm not going to 64. I want to go to, let's do it the old-fashioned way. This is the...
2 days later, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine had given out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They are out of wine."
"Madam, what do you have to do with this? My time has not yet come."
"Do whatever he tells you."
The Jews have rules about ritual washing, and for this purpose, 6 stone water jars were there, each one large enough to hold between 20 and 30 gallons.
"Fill these jars with water."
When you would come into a home, you'd wash your hands. You would wash the feet.
They filled them to the brim.
"Now draw some water out and take it to the man in charge of the feast."
They took him the water, which now had turned into wine, and he tasted it.
The man who drank it first was the wedding director. True.
Jesus performed this first miracle in Cana in Galilee. There he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
That was his glory, was that he was the rich wine. Sorry, we rehearsed this so closely that there wasn't anything. It's okay. Now that was the first of the official signs, and we get them all in the book of that. And then the next thing that takes place in the second chapter is the cleansing of the temple. Now, this is a thing that's very unique. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus goes one time to Jerusalem, and he cleanses the temple right before his execution. And in John, he goes to Jerusalem on 3 different occasions. But at the very beginning, in the second chapter of John, he tells about Jesus going in and changing the money changers tables and cleansing the temple. Well, you know, I don't want to question that, but that's the way John saw it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke saw it, that it was the end of his life. I kind of tend to go with Matthew, Mark, and Luke here, because if he had gone in there, this Galilean, they didn't see anything about God about him, and he had cleansed that temple like that, I think the execution was taken at the first of his earthly ministry. But he went there and he cleansed the temple. He was trying to make a statement. That's what John wanted him to do. John wanted him to let him know. And what he was saying here again is, I'm taking the place of the temple. The temple's always been the place in your life, but I am the temple, and you've made the temple a den of thieves. You know, what are money changers? You know, what would happen? People would come from all the diaspora. All the Jewish people lived all over the world. And they needed to come home to the Jerusalem for one or two or three of the festivals. At first it was every year, and then it got to be every 5 years and so forth. But yet now even today, for an Orthodox Jew, must return one time during their lifetime to Jerusalem. And there is no temple even there. But they would return for the festivals. And they would come in and they would bring their coins from the Roman Empire. And all of them had Caesar on every coin, an image. And the Jews did not believe that you could bring any image, because they worshipped only God. And you had to change your coins. And so as they would come in from the West, coming across what is today Turkey, they come down and they would take a ship and would come into Tyre, way up. They would there change their Roman money into Tyrian shekels, pure silver. And then they could take that silver and change it at the temple for temple coins, which were worthless. And then they could take that money and buy a lamb, or they could buy a pigeon or several for sacrifice, you see. It was a racket. And what they were doing, they were taking pure silver for just junk, the temple coins. And again, they were doing it, and they were exchanging. It's almost like the international exchange in these airports when you fly internationally. You've got to pay a pretty good fee to get money changed. A little bit more serious than that. It was much more serious than that. But they were in there. They would even sell you a pigeon. They'll sell you a wounded lamb. You could buy anything. They had these little bitty tables there. And where were they? They were on the Temple Mount. They were next to the temple. You had to walk around them to get to them. And that's what raised Jesus' concern, and he cleaned it out. He cleansed the temple. Well, he got a lot of notice there. And then they move out of there. They're moving in and out of Jerusalem in John. We're still in the second chapter. And then in the second chapter, they move out of that place. And then in the chapters that follow, the third chapter, you have this magnificent story of Nicodemus.